Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 95.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today. This is going to be episode number 95, and this is going to be the progressions of beginner through intermediate through advanced in playing a tune. And I wanted to show you what happens kind of in the evolution of a tune through those different levels, right? Because sometimes you are starting a beginner and you don't really understand what it takes to get to the next level. And then you hear an advanced player play and it's just like, wow, I can't even imagine, like, what is going on, right? It just makes no sense. And then maybe you're an intermediate and it's just like, what can I do to get to that next level, you know, where it's like, it sounds amazing, right? And so in this episode, I'm really going to walk you through all the different kind of progressions, not chord progressions, but progressions of a tune that people go through and what happens as you start to get better. So you can see the shifts in a tune. I think it's going to be very interesting for everyone to see. I wish I could have seen this when I was younger too as well. So without further ado, let's dive right in. So I'm going to take a piece called When I Fall in Love. And if you guys are looking for the podcast materials on this, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast95 as always. Now, When I Fall in Love is a ballad, right? I want to take a slow piece so you could really see kind of the movements that are going on. So if I start with the melody here, okay, pretty simple. Now, as a beginner, what most people are going to be doing are playing the chords in the left hand. Now, a tune like this is going to give some challenges because the melody is very low, right? A lot of times the melody will be up here, you know, wherever. And so, but this melody is right in the middle register, so we can't necessarily play an E-flat chord here. Like, if it was up here, it'd be fine. Right? So what do we do? Right? What do we do in this scenario? And it's so awesome. If you guys have my solo piano system, you can go onto our public page at jazzpianoschool.com and purchase that if you're interested. But if you have that, I'm going to go over kind of some of the steps that I tell you how to arrange this. Now, the first thing to do is to realize the melody is in the middle of the piano, so we can't necessarily play chords under that. So what do? Well, we have to pick a bass note. And our bass note's going to obviously be underneath our melody. Now, already we have a nice rich sound. Now, the other things we need when doing this are our shells. Okay, the shells of the chords. That's going to be D and G. So now, because of the register that we're in, we can't add too much to fill, but we can add a little bit, and we can have some cluster voicings right in the middle here. I really like this, right? So as you can start to see what happens when an advanced player is playing and getting a sound out of this. I'm going to do more of this. But again, normally as a beginner attempting to play this, we would have no idea what to do. So we might do something like this. Right? That's too low for a left-hand bass chord, but we might play it anyway. And then we have a lot of parentheses chords here, you know, substitutions. So again, beginners, what we're doing, you know, what beginners are doing are mostly playing left-hand chords with the right-hand melody. That's a perfect way to start off, okay? There's absolutely no problem with that. I'm just showing you the progression of what's going to happen. Now, as an intermediate player, you may be able to do some more movements, right? So you may be able to jump and use some pedal. Like, we could do this. And we're playing more of a stride type of jazz, right? So we're jumping from our bass note or 1 and 5 to maybe a rootless voicing or an inversion. And it's going to sound kind of more like a, what they call, I don't like to use this expression, but, you know, like kind of cocktail piano, right? The quote unquote cocktail piano, which kind of just like the background kind of stridey feel. There's no problem with this. I absolutely love that style too, that sound, but it definitely is a certain sound. It's an older sound. It's not a modern jazz sound that you would hear, you know, in clubs these days necessarily. So again, that would sound like more like this. Very in time, right? There's no change. Just more like ragtime. Now, even what I just did there might be getting a little bit more advanced for that kind of style, right? So I had my shelves here and then voice led into my dominant seventh chord in the eighth measure of When I Fall in Love. So that's kind of, you know, as you start to advance past melody and left-hand chords, you're getting into more of the kind of maybe a stride feel, right? And it is a ballad, so it's a different style that we're looking for. But that may be one of the things. Now, as you start to progress, right, what's going to happen is that you're going to want to start to put more of your harmonies underneath your melody in your right hand, and then have your left hand playing what I call left hand solo piano components. And again, this is in the solo piano system, right? So I teach all of this, but to give you a little hint at that, left hand solo piano components are basically solid components that your left hand does. As you become a more experienced player, your left hand does less. So we might do, depending upon the register, 1 and 3 and have our right hand take the shell. Or you might do 1 and 7. That's a little low for that. Or again, like I showed you, our right hand will take both notes. You know, so I play this. And then here on the C sharp 5, the dominant chord of the flat 13 necessarily. Sorry, I couldn't choose my words there for some reason. Right? So what my left hand is doing, a left hand component, is 1 to 3 in a tenth, right? So there's different left hand components you can use. 1 and 3, you can use 1 and 7, right? Depending upon the register you're in, you can do 1, 2 a chord, right? So I might do this or altered. And just play the melody. But not all the times do I want to jump. Right? So as we get more advanced, more of our right hand is going to take the melody notes, or excuse me, the color tones and shells underneath our melody, while our left hand only plays, you know, bass notes, shells, or maybe a jump to a chord. Okay, it does actually less. Whereas when we start in beginner, our left hand's playing all these full 4-note chords, you know, or doing a lot of stride and things like that. So I might play something like this. Right now here, I have the melody, I have the 7, I have the 1 and 3. So we have all the necessary components here. I've added in the sharp 9. Right? Now here again, I have 1 and 7. I have the melody, and I'm playing the 3. So again, remember, all you need necessarily in your two-hand arrangement as a solo pianist is the bass note, your shells, and the melody. And so if I'm completing that, right, that's all I need. I don't necessarily need to add in more because this gives us the quality of the chord, but I chose to add in the 5th here. And then over the B-flat 7, I can play whatever I want. I might do this. This is more of a Jop 2 voicing. Now I have these alternate chords, right? So what I'm doing here, sorry, that's if you add the 7. Again, I have my melody note and I'm putting the shells below my melody, bass note on my left hand. Right? You see that? And you can get away with that as a more of an intermediate style arrangement by just playing the melody note and shells below. That's one of the steps I teach in the solo piano system as you progress and get better. So again, listen to how this sounds with that method. Right? Already that in itself sounds great. And we start to spice that up just a little bit. We can add some extensions or more of our rootless voicing kind of style into that. So I added a 9 here. I added a 9 here, right? A 9 here. And actually it'd sound better, or I'd like to sound better, if I remove my 3rd here and put it in my left hand. See how that balances out the shells more? Nice, a better spread there. Now what I did was add that sharp 5 here. And again, I have a drop 2 with my bass note here, and I could do this as well. instead of the bass note here, I choose the bass note here. And again, this is melody and shells, how I get to that point with the nine. This is basically my almost my rootless voicing. But what I do is I take the, instead of playing both shells in my right hand, I'm going to put the third in my left hand. So I'm going to remove that. And I have the nine going on here. So just more of a standard. This is what it would be at a basic level. Okay, we take the third and put it in our left hand. So we have that now. And then we add in the nine as a more intermediate style. But that creates a drop two voicing in itself. All right. So we're getting more advanced at this point. So here's check it out. Here's what it's going to sound like as a more of an intermediate style player. What's going on here? And this is kind of difficult in itself, catching all those. Again, B7. So something like that, right? That's getting more, and you can start to see the movements, right? We have more shells underneath our right hand. Our left hand's doing a little bit less, but it is doing a lot because it needs to develop a solid foundation of whether to do 1 and 3, 1 and 7, and that's going to be dependent upon how much you kind of know your registers well. That comes with a lot of practice. Now, as we start to get more advanced, even past this point, what starts to happen is really kind of flavors. Reharms are a big part of it. Inner voicing movements. I would strongly say everything stems from reharms and theory voicing knowledge, like progression knowledge. So what do I mean by that? Well, I did a reharm series about 10 episodes back, I would say, about how to reharm progressions, right? So as we start to use reharms, we can use certain movements. Okay, for example, this is all fine and dandy. Now we get to the B-flat 7. This is a great time to make the B-flat a sus chord. So there's my sus. I'm playing 1, 4, 7, 9, 5. And then I'm going to resolve it to a flat, the regular chord, a B-flat 7, but I'm adding the flat 9. So I resolve from a B-flat sus, dominant 7, to a B-flat 7, flat 9. So just in that alone, I'm creating a different sound that's more advanced by adding that reharm in, especially with the voicing that I'm choosing, right? So again, this is more of a drop two, right? I have the resolution. So you hear the resolution down here, not up here, but I could go like this, right? So I had F minor 7. And again, obviously you can hear I'm adding extensions as well. The more extension knowledge you have to add into your chord, the more advanced you're going to be. And again, with certain little flares and elegance, I did a podcast on that, that's also going to improve your playing. Now you'd think a little thing like hitting an octave, a staggered octave up top, that's the easiest thing to do ever. Does it sound amazing and professional and elegant? Absolutely. Right? So adding these things in, and then we're back into the tune, right? There's my B-flat sus to my B-flat 7, flat 9. And again, a little more flair, elegance, or flavor would come by doing this. Instead of just resolving, look what I can do with my left hand. Right? I can resolve it there. So certain types of small movements, right? That's the real, like Keith Jarrett, you know, he has so many inner movements going on. Bill Evans, these great guys. What happens when you start to get in that is that the basis of the tune is always there, but so much is happening with voices. Now, as we start to get even more advanced, the voices start to stagger. Now, what do I mean by this? If you look at a Keith Jarrett transcription or a Bill Evans transcription, their left hands, in all of, even Brad, all these guys, their knowledge of voices and movements is just so profound, right? So when they go to hit a chord, not saying I'm playing like them. But there's movements. There's more movement. So your left hand is rolling more. You're arpeggiating your kind of your voices. Let me see. Where am I? So again, more movement with that as you start to get more advanced. And I started to add in more reharms as well, right? So from here, I'm going to the tritone of F, the B7 sus. So B7 sus first to the flat 9. Whoops, sorry. And then to the B-flat 7 sus, and then to it, another tritone of the B-flat, the E7 altered, to resolve into the E-flat major. So again, like I said, as you start to get more advanced, more reharms come into play. So if you're at that kind of intermediate player, really study your reharms, and that will progress you further. And then past that point, it's about your movements and inner voicings, right, and how you're going to resolve things. So for my B flat sus, I can resolve it like this, like I did this, like those little flares I talked about, right? More movements with your left hand, you can break up things. So instead of just playing this, right, this voicing here, you can have your left hand take the whole bottom area and then stagger it so that it's kind of broken and it adds more movement into your arrangement. Here's the second, third, and fourth measure. Right, sharp 11 here. There's a tritone of your E flat with the sharp 11 on the melody note is here, sharp 11 here. 3, 7, A7 on the bottom. This is a sus with the melody note being an extension. Okay, so I'm playing A flat 7 sus, flat 7, 3. Now, a lot of books and teachers may tell you not to do this because you have this going on. But it's a very nice voicing to me. So this melody note is actually the 13 almost extension on your sus chord. You can resolve that too, just so you have that kind of dissonance for a second. And I can resolve it with the melody. Another sus chord on my D flat 7 sus. Another sus on the C7. It's really nice. Here's a nice inner movement voicing on my F7. So I'm playing 13, 3, right? So here's just a standard left hand component, 1 and 7. My right hand takes the 3. My melody's on top. I fill in with a 13 in the middle. I have a nice little inner movement voicing going on. And then I have to play this B9. So I chose to do 1 and 3, 7, right? So always have your bass note and shells. And then the rest is up to you. 9, 13. Like that, right? I left a little break, so space, a little trill. Again, I can reharm here. So much of this stuff is about the reharms. So what I did was A flat diminished to the A flat major, and then down to the D flat. I can add a little flare with my left hand, right? Just a little roll down to a D flat. This is going off the camera, but I'm playing the octave, right? D flat down an octave. And then breaking this up. I'm rolling 1, 7, 3, so it adds movement. Otherwise, it's just, right? Everything's stationary on the downbeat. With that movement and the brokenness, it arranges everything. It breaks it up, so there's lots of inner voices. Right, you can arpeggiate your voicing. So I have 1, 3 here is my altered. Mm-hmm. So what did I do there? I had my Fs minor 7. And then I simply went to the tritone of our 5 chord, which is E, right? But I made it a sus chord and resolved. And then finally down to our resolution. So again, a lot of stuff going on here. Again, from your beginner, we're doing a lot of left-hand basic chords with your right hand, right? As you start to move out of that, you're kind of doing more, maybe a little bit of stride, right? But your right hand's still playing the melody. As you start to move further, your right hand takes more of your harmony underneath, right? Maybe you're just playing the shells underneath your melody with left-hand bass notes. And then as you start to move even further to that, you start to use your left hand more in conjunction with your right hand. So what do I mean by that? Is usually your left hand will have 1 and 7 while your right hand takes 3. Or the opposite, you'll have 1 and 3 while your right hand takes the 7. Okay, really think about that. That's a really strong principle to know when you're playing jazz, because your right hand will always have the melody. When your right hand has the melody, your left hand, your right hand thumb is going to have the 3rd or the 7th, and your left hand other thumb is going to have the 3rd and the 7th. So if I play 1 and 7, my right hand will have the 3. Does that make sense? If I play 1 and 3, my right hand thumb will have the 3rd. And it's based off the register. Now, again, like I said, there's a whole kind of flow chart. It's on the previous episode's podcast, I think. 70s, you know, we have so many. We got 100 coming up in 5 episodes, but I think it's in 70s. I talk about the solo piano system flowchart, where I go over all of that. And again, that's in the solo piano system. But like I said, that kind of strong principle is key, okay, to really advancing your arrangements. And you can follow our 7-step process to do that. Depending upon the register you're in, it's going to dictate your arrangement. I can't play 1 and 7 down here. It's too low. Okay, so there's a specific way to do this, because it's so funny. I think a lot of people think, oh, it's just a free-for-all. You know, it's totally not a free-for-all. So down here for my E-flat, I'm never going to play 1 and 7, right? Especially if my melody note's here. It doesn't really matter. I'm not going to do 1 and 7 in just this, probably, right? I may do this, but I may add my 7 in here. So I am doing 1 and 7. It still creates more of a low sound. And a lot of the times you heard me just doing this instead of that 7. That creates it's just a little bit too muddy. Just playing a standard E flat chord with the 9 in there is much prettier than adding the 7 in. That's okay. An E flat major triad and a major 7 is practically the same thing. It's a 1 chord, right? So I'm just going like this. And again, I can't do 1 and 7 down here. It's just too low. So I put my 7 here, and I put my 3rd here. I play 1 and 3. Again, if you can't reach this, just jump. The jumping creates movement anyway. So if you can't reach it, you're already doing yourself more of a favor, because you're creating movement, like we just talked about, like Bill's doing, you know, Keith's doing, and people like that, by jumping, right? You can put it to your advantage, right? The next we got is reharms, really solidifying, learning all the different types of movements, your tritones, your relative two minors. These are all theory tools, right, in the jazz piano course that you learn, progress. That way you're not implementing these at random, right? All this is a system. I really want you to know that. My education in jazz piano school is a system that educates through this, all these processes, right? It's not a free-for-all, you know, it's not a guessing game. And so many people, I think jazz is like that, but I'm all about the science. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty movements of the registers and how your hands work, and you bring it through a process, it's actually quite easy. And now I probably sound kind of crazy to a lot of you, but it is, right? And if you go through jazz piano school, I mean, all I can say is it is. Hopefully you see that from the education that I do here in the podcast as well. So anyway, let me see. Again, you have lots of flourishes, runs, you know, silly, I don't want to say silly, but those are all flourishes. I mean, I'd really highly recommend strongly working on more of your inner movement voicings before you start to kind of work on that kind of stuff. Because again, it's just, those are just practice things you'll get used to. came out of nowhere. I've never really done that before, right? So again, reharms, movements, and you hopefully that progression of different things, you know, all around that gives you a sense. I mean, and that's that I'm playing out of time, you know, not to mention if you move more into, there's so many different styles, right? If I decide to play this at more of a stride type of thing, you know, it'd sound like this, right? So you can do whatever style you want, but like I said, just playing stride, you're still, I don't know what the best way to say it is. It's, you're not getting like really into the thick of the movements, right? To kind of adventure into that advancement of jazz piano where you're getting really deep inside the harmonies and reharms and movements. It's totally cool. If that's what you're going for, I'm not trying to discourage you from that style by any means, but if that's what you're going for, do it. Absolutely. Like, master that style. I mean, there's people who can play stride like, you know, like none other, and they're amazing, right? Much better than I can. And so if that's your thing, go for it. You know, the old time, that kind of old time style. But again, if you're looking for more of the kind of more modern sound and getting into those principles, then what I just kind of demonstrated with the reharms and the inner movements and kind of the flourishes and movements of resolutions in both hands, right? That's what's going to give you that sound. So again, hopefully that helped for some of the arrangements and reharms that I did in this episode. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast95 and you'll be able to get some of the inner workings I was doing in this podcast episode. All right. So I hope you have a fantastic day, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Happy practicing.